Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Mark. I know I said something else, but it's the same thing. Mark chapter 8 starts at verse 27. We'll go through 38. "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, or along the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am?" And of course, you recognize that I started on this 3 weeks ago. We're right back where we started. So all of this is familiar up to a point, I suppose. And they answered in verse 28, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias or Elijah, and some one of the prophets. And Peter answered and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." We know this. We read this last time in Matthew, I believe. And Jesus charged them, made them promise, would have you, that they should not tell any man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please give us understanding. You don't come here to learn about us or what we can do. We want to learn what Jesus did and trust in Him and look for Him to do something in our lives, and also that we'd be empowered to tell somebody else. Please help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So everything we've said so far, we've covered that before. But we said one of the times, or I said one of the times, I guess I can stop speaking in the third person one day. But I said that the four Gospels, well, there are three and then one, the three synoptics, they tell the same story again and again and again, but each has a different perspective. And the fact that there's different perspectives, obviously you get more information, but it shows the different testimonies. You know, it's like the story, if I can remember it, the guy, he was in a car wreck and he was run over as a pedestrian. And okay, so it was he in a car or was he a pedestrian? Which was it? Well, a couple of people had different ideas or heard different parts of the story. The fact is, he was a pedestrian and he got hit. And the ambulance came and got him. And on the way to the hospital, the ambulance got into a wreck. So it was both. Okay, to tell the whole story, you need both perspectives. You need to see the whole thing. And multiple witnesses give you the full picture. Then you've got the book of John that shows Jesus as God come in the flesh. But in verse 32, "And spake that saying openly, that he would suffer and be killed and then rise again 3 days later." And they didn't even catch that. We talked about that. But Peter heard the first part, that Jesus would be killed. And Peter took him, brought him aside, and began to rebuke him. Now, I don't mind being rebuked by God, but this was Peter rebuking the Lord. And again, there are different tellings of this, but it says that when he had turned around and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Now notice he included the disciples, and he didn't just address Peter by himself, but he included the disciples and said, "Peter, you're wrong. And matter of fact, get behind me, Satan." The word Satan means adversary, one that fights against God. Now we think of it as a name, and maybe that's correct, but it means something. A lot of things in the Bible, the names mean something. The name Jesus means Savior. The name Christ is not a last name, for instance. It means Messiah, or the one anointed by the Holy Spirit. Many names, many places, many things, there's a Hebrew or a Greek meaning to the word. But Peter was naturally concerned about the health and well-being of his master. And he says, "What do you mean going to get killed? I mean, stop talking like that, right? I mean, shut up with that. We don't want to hear that, right? It's a natural thing, right?" But Jesus said that you don't savor or care about or cherish the things that are of God, but the things that be of men. It's natural to think well of people, to care for them, to want them to succeed, what have you, to not be killed, right? And that's right. But it's, in this context, humanism. Not atheistic humanism, but humanism from the perspective of what do we want as people? What do we want as natural men? Right? Not from a spiritual perspective, but Peter was talking from a humanistic or human viewpoint. But Jesus came to this earth to ransom the lost. And the only way to do that, and I've told this story again and again, pastors told it, the guy that's going to be, after we're gone, is going to tell the same story, hopefully, that Christ suffered and paid the penalty, and by His blood ransomed us from sin. It's God's will that Jesus came to earth to die. It's God's will that He died. And Peter, he couldn't get that through his head. Right? If you put all the different tellings of this together, at one point, he has a revelation from God. "Thou art the Christ." And in the next verse, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." So which is it? Well, he did get that flash of inspiration from God, but his thinking was still on a human plane. And again, it's natural that he would have those feelings. But the gospel is not natural, but supernatural. And again, this is a Bible study. You can interrupt at any time. Any questions, any comments, all you have to do is voice them. But then in verse 34, "And when he had called the people together," not just the disciples, but the people too, "he said, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." Again, Peter was standing up for self and his master's life. But if you want to come after Jesus, you have to deny yourself. The things you want, the way you want to do it, even your own life. "Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me." Now, some people have silver cross, gold cross on a chain around their neck, and that's great. But the original cross was the instrument of Christ's death. And he said, if you want to be my disciple, not just a church member, but my disciple, you'll take up your own instrument of death and follow me. His death counted. He gave his life a ransom for many, we said in Isaiah 53. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. But he wants us to die. His death redeems. Your death sanctifies you. You understand? What does sanctify mean? To be set apart unto God and for his use. We're going to talk about some of this later, but you've got plans, you've got desires, you've got the way things it ought to be done. You listen to me playing piano and singing and says, man, I wish you'd do that different. Well, maybe I can do it different. But you've got your idea about this and that, about any number of things. Don't like the way the waitress bought the tea. You've got your ideas, and I've got them, and what have you. You've got your ideas of how things ought to be. Jesus said, you have to deny yourself. And to take up the instrument of your death. And if you won't, you can't be my disciple. And he says, whoever shall save his life or invest in how things ought to be from our perspective, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, whoever's willing to deny himself and say, I got my plans, but Lord, thy will be done. Or how would you have me to do it? Or who would you have me to marry? Or what kind of job you want me to have? Or whatever. What do you want, not what I want? Then you'll find your life. In this message, it's in the Bible, but it's very seldom preached to deny yourself and to die to your ways, to your ideas, your understandings. And he goes on and talks about more, but verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels. When Jesus comes back, if you have lived ashamed of deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, then he will be ashamed of you. It's a hard message. It's the truth. And if you deny yourself, you'll find life here and there. Mark chapter 4. A familiar passage. We all know this. Verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. In other words, he used the bank as a natural amphitheater. He pushed off, I don't know, 20 feet, whatever, and the water, as water does, will amplify sound waves. He did it for that, and he did it for the fact that they were pushing him, and he was stepping into the sea. There's so many people. But he did that, and he began to teach. And it says that he taught many things by parables or by stories, and said unto them in his doctrine. He tells stories, but it says doctrine. Hearken, or hey, listen up. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. We don't think of it in that term anymore. No, you don't really find farmers doing anything but sitting in the combine with the air conditioner and the radio going, right? And maybe playing on his cell phone these days. But in the old days, you might have had a mule, but you still walk all of the length of the field, the whole thing, all day. And he, the sower, the one that plants grain, would have you, seeds. He went and I guess he reached into the bag and got a handful of seeds and kind of sprinkled them out as he walked. He sowed. And it came to pass that as he sowed, some fell by the wayside or on the sidewalk perhaps. And the fowls, the birds came and devoured it up. Hey, food, let's eat. You know how birds do. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. But because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was come up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some of the seed that he cast, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. In the old days, a farmer would get out there with a hoe and go between the rows and chop the weeds. That's what he's talking about. If you have a garden and you don't take care of the weeds or what have you, then you're going to have a garden of weeds, because they will take the nutrients out of the soil, they will take the water, and your whatever you grow in, carrots or whatever, are going to wither and die, choked out. But it says in verse 8, and some fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he says, hey, listen up. Anybody's got an ear, let him hear. It's a good story, good parable. But the disciples in verse 10, after supper, everybody was gone, they said, hey, Jesus, that's a good story, but what does it mean? His own disciples didn't understand. And then he gave the explanation. And he said that, I'll give you, my disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are not my disciples or what have you, maybe they're just in the crowd, them that are without, all these things are done or said in parables. Now verse 12 is very strange. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, unless at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. It's very strange language. Now, in verse 9, he told the parable and he said that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But then he, explaining to his disciples, I tell stories so that they don't understand and so that they miss it. And if I said it plainly that they would understand, they would hear and they would believe and they would get saved. They'd be converted and their sins would be forgiven. The obvious question, doesn't God want people to be saved? I mean, didn't Jesus come to the earth specifically to die for the sins of the world? We just talked about that. It's God's will that all men would be saved. But he says, I don't tell it plainly, I tell it in some story so that they don't understand and then so they aren't saved and that they die lost in their sins. Well, which is it? Does God want people to be saved or not? They must have scratched their heads on that, and I guess I scratched mine too. Isaiah 6. We know the story. You can turn or not, but in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Train. He had a locomotive. Well, we know when a bride comes down the aisle, she's got a train, right? And it doesn't say Norfolk on the side. It's the back end of her dress. Does God have a dress? No, it's His majesty. It's His glory. When we get to heaven, we're going to be absolutely astounded at the greatness of God. And in God's temple, it says, His train, His glory filled the temple. In verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" This is a classic missionary text. Any missionary worth his salt will take this at some point during the missionary conference, and he'll preach on Isaiah chapter 6. And the question the missionary asks, are you going to be like Isaiah and said, "Here I am, I'll go to Africa," right? "Here I am, send me," in verse 8, but in verse 9 it says, God says to Isaiah, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not," which is what Jesus was quoting here in Mark chapter 4. "Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed."
The world. you've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.